Now, while it's not the most pleasant topic to think about, organising your inheritance is one of the most important financial decisions that you can make, and there are some pitfalls along the way. And here to talk us through do's and don'ts of drafting a will is our Monday expert, the Money Doctor, John Lowe. John, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat. Nice to talk to you again.
Now, we'll talk about this package that you have on offer, which seems to be a very, very good idea. We'll talk about that in a moment. But basically, you say that 99% of all estates, you know, the things that you own, are uncomplicated, and 99% of family relationships and other relationships are uncomplicated. So a will should be, by and large, uncomplicated.
It should be, Pat, but 70% of our nation do not have a will. And no matter what the law society are doing or the solicitors or anybody out there who's trying to kind of help, I personally, for instance, wouldn't go onto an online website where I have to input my personal details onto a website, not knowing who they are and what could happen. They could be, you know, hacked into, all of those kind of things. You have a worry. So there's a great fear, a great ignorance, misinformation, you know, misconceptions, apathy, fear, all of these things make those people, the 70% of this nation, not bother with writing a will, drafting a will. But it's a really simple process.
Okay, now if you don't draft a will, you die at what they call intestate. There are rules that kick in straight away.
Absolutely, and whoever you've left, whatever you know assets that you have, any possessions, they have to go to the High Court. A solicitor has to go to the High Court to get letters of administration. It's a long process, but it's also a costly one. That's even before you start talking about probate, Pat.
Okay, but if you die intestate, you know, you'd imagine that the spouse gets so much and the kids get so much. It's a divvy that's written down in law. That's it. Thank you very much.
No, not quite, because everybody who dies has to go through a process called probate, which is an administration probate kind of process, whereby all your assets, anything over 25,000 basically, has to be written down on a form, and whoever you your next of kin is, you know, and if you've no next of kin, then it goes to the state, but it still has to go through that process of probate. So it's the entire legal process, administration of a deceased person's possessions, assets, their estate as such.
Okay, now you think we can all DIY it. So how can we DIY it if we still have probate to go through? We have people who've got to witness the will. Could they be people who might also benefit from the will? Appointing an executor, all of that kind of thing.
Well, it's really simple. First of all, when you think about it, I mean, Jim Power was on to me this morning. He was telling me that the average net worth per person in Ireland is 166,000. So that's what I'm saying, Pat. 99% of the people, they don't have complex estates. In other words, they might be, if it's under a million, you know, I did my own mother's probate. I was the executor. There's 8 kids in our family, including Teresa, my barrister's sister, and I have a nephew-in-law who's a senior counsel. It's a very simple process. You fill out a form, you go down to the probate office. There's many of them around Ireland. Book an appointment with the personal representative, and 30 minutes later, you're done and dusted. You just go home and you distribute the will according to the wishes of the will, and it's a simple process. So you don't need, I mean, I look at wills for some solicitors as a loss leader, because they charge a small fee maybe for writing and drafting the will, but then the good stuff is when the probate comes, because you can be charged, and of course you're dead, so it doesn't matter. You can be charged a fair amount of money. I mean, I've seen cases where they've been charged 3.5% for the first 10,000, 3% for the second 10,000, and 2.5% for everything else after that. So you're looking at, including VAT on every million, probably about 46,000.
Wow, that's a nice little earner. Not many people know that. So if you've drafted a will with a solicitor, your message is take it back from them. Well, you don't need to. You don't need them to do this processing for you. For you can do it yourself.
Well, for the vast majority, yes, you don't need a legal representation. But there are aspects. This is not an anti-solicitor thing. It's to try and get those 70% of people who have assets over 25,000, and they don't need to go through the legal process. They can do this themselves. And my little package, Pat, is unique, because I'm not asking you to go to my website and fill in your personal details. details. I'm saying you'll download, there'll be three Word documents. One of them will be your specific will template, and that essentially you fill out yourself, you download, you put onto your either laptop or you print out and you handwrite yourself. So I will never see that. The same for the second document, which is a list of your assets and your personal information. That's a 6-page Word document. Again, you download, put it on your laptop or you print out and fill out yourself. So that will keep, put all your properties, your accounts, your PC password, your mobile password, your social media password, anything you want that you want to put into that 6-page form is there. And then the third thing is an enduring power of attorney. Now, you will need a solicitor to effect that eventually, but this is just to flag people that you could get a condition later in life, and you may need to get this form, which gives you power to your loved ones to represent you financially and every other way after you've signed it.
All right, Andy, you can go to moneydoctors.ie/wills and you'll find details of that. €50 plus VAT, so just over €61. And Bob's your uncle. Some of the questions coming in: if I give my son a loan of 325K and I die before it's paid back, is this loan considered the tax-free amount of the inheritance, or is it a loan which is not payable as I'll be dead?
Well, it is payable. It have to go back to your estate. Theoretically, they would have to pay back the estate, because it was a loan from your estate, and it's 335,000 now is the actual figure. Ironically, Pat, you know, in April 2009, as a parent, you could give your child 542,000. So it's gone considerably down since then. But 335. So in that case there, theoretically, the son would have to pay back the 325,000 to the estate, but he could then get 335,000 tax-free if it was kind of left to him in the estate.
Yeah, Fiona has a question. My husband and I do not have children, nor will we in the future. We're writing our will. We want to divide our estate among some of our nieces and nephews. How can I do this without inflicting large inheritance tax upon them?
Well, nephew and nieces is the second category of the capital acquisition tax thresholds, and that's £32,500. So anything over that is 33% tax. Now, theoretically, some of these people can take out what is known as a Section 72 policy, insurance policy, that would actually pay any tax liability they may have when they die for those recipients, either son, daughter, or even nephew and nieces if they want. I wouldn't go that myself, now, I'd have to say, in my case, because I think they'd be getting enough money anyway, and they can pay that 33% tax if it's over that threshold.
Yeah. If they want to give them the money in life, of course, they can give them $3,000 apiece, each of the parents for the moment. Here's an interesting one. If my family are citizens of, say, Canada and also live there, do they still have to pay inheritance tax to the Irish government if I leave my house to them?
No, that would be depending on what the tax laws over there is, but it would still have to be stated that, for instance, if the parent is over here and gives a child who lives in Canada, 340,000, well, that money over 335,000 is taxable, irrespective of where the person is living.
Okay. I've been nagging my husband for years to make a will. Our first house was in his name. Now we jointly own our new house and we have two children. He says everything would be automatically left to the next of kin. Can you advise how important for us to have a will? He has to say, does he not, that he wants to give everything to the missus and then she can decide.
It's very interesting,
you know,
Pat,
what the kids should get.
If you die intestate as a married couple, for instance, the spouse gets, believe it or not, 2/3 of the estate, and the children, whoever the children are, will divide the 1/3 between them. Now, if that same spouse writes a will and they're married, then the surviving spouse will actually get 1/3 of the estate, and the children will get 2/3. So it's still hassle either way. If you don't have a will, as I said, you have to go then to the High Court to get letters of administration. There's a lot of hassle and there's more expense. So it really is in everybody's interest to actually write a will, just for the sake of expediency.
So the advice from the Money Doctor, John Lowe, is make a will. John, thank you very much for joining us. themoneydoctors.ie/wills is where you'll find all the detail there.